Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion. We are your show if you are interested in finding out biblical truth and having it declared across every ear and every nation and every town that we can find. You may ask, why do you call your show Old Lion, Young Lion? And here's why. We believe that the Bible teaches that every believer should be bold as a lion. As the scripture says, the righteous are bold as lions. Now, we also believe that we work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. My name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazelton, and we are Old Lion, Young Lion. We are also part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church, located in the heart of Schenectady County at 2350 Hamburg Street. And we have regular gatherings with our church every Sunday at 10:30 and throughout the week. We'd love for you to come and be a part of our worship time and hear about the Word of God being preached and meet some of the folks at our church. Before we even go any further in today's show, we got to stop and shout out one of our regular listeners. And so we are excited to announce, Sam, what's the name again? Okay, I got it here. Jean Singleton from Charlton, New York. And we want to shout her out. Thank you for following the show and listening to what we've been going through with Jesus, a Man on a Mission. And so we just want to give a shout out to her. Also, we're doing a little bit of a campaign this year. We want you to follow along with us. If you ever have any Bible questions or comments about what we've talked about on the show, you can email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. And if your comment or question makes it onto the air, you will receive this summer's hottest fashion item, a piece of Old Lion, Young Lion merch. And so do not miss out on that. We have a little bit of a tradition that we have here on our show, and that is that every time we get on the air and every time we dive into a particular topic or chapter, we like to start the show off with a word of prayer. So I'm going to ask our resident Old Lion here, Sam Hazelton, if you would open our show up with a word of prayer, please.
I will. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you today that we've been called as servants of this man on a mission, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that you have opened our eyes to hear his voice, to see his truth from the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill us today with boldness. I pray that you'd fill us with clarity, that we might proclaim this truth to everyone within the sound of our voice. Father, I pray today that we would, as we look into the start of Jesus' ministry, as he exploded on the scene in the Galilee region, I pray that the truths of the scripture would impact those who are hearing us today and that they would, like us, follow the Savior in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all of you that are listening. And we don't know what you're walking through or what your past week has been, or maybe even the past couple months have been. And if you've been walking through something tough, or if you've been in a season of trial, and if you've been in a season of triumph, we don't know what it's like to walk in your shoes. But what we do know is that we hope that this show is a call for you to get closer to the Almighty Creator God. And that's why we have this show. So the series that we're in now, what we've been going through over the past few weeks and will be continuing to go through over the next several weeks, we've been titled Man on a Mission. The story of the whole Bible directs us to one character, and his name is Jesus Christ. And his mission here on earth is twofold. Number one was to seek and save that which was lost. And number two is to destroy or undo the evil works of the devil. And we've been looking at the character, person, and work of Jesus Christ through how the Bible talks about him and teaches about him on how he is accomplishing that mission. So here we are today. Sam, if you could, tell us where we've been. Tell us some of the things that we've been talking about. Highlight a little bit about what we've seen so far. Talk to us a little bit about where we're going, and maybe we can dig into what we're going to talk about today in this very little known story about Jesus' homecoming.
Okay. we started out with Jesus' baptism, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. He was immediately driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He undid those works of the devil by resisting that temptation, unlike our first forefather, Adam, who fell to the devil's temptation. Then we saw Jesus have this nighttime powwow with Nicodemus, who was a great ruler and teacher of the Jews. Nicodemus had no idea of the main focus of Jesus' mission, which was to bring the new birth to mankind. We all were born into this world broken. We were all born into this world lost, and we need to be regenerated. We need to be born again. The old self needs to die on the cross of Jesus Christ. The new self needs to be resurrected with Jesus. We talked about the caterpillar going and crawling up on the tree, spinning a cocoon around itself, dying, turning into mush, and then miraculously bursting forth out of that cocoon as a brand new creature. And we saw Nicodemus, who was that person who actually wrapped Jesus in his burial into that cocoon where Jesus 3 days later burst forth in newness of life. So today, we are going to see Jesus kind of explode on the scene. He goes back to his original hometown where he was brought up by his father, or his stepfather, I should say, Joseph, with his brothers and sisters. As the scripture says, many people don't know this, Jesus had several brothers and sisters, at least five or six are named in scripture. So he's going back to his hometown, and we're going to just see how it goes today.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people believe, and some might even say, that the stories in the Bible are kind of just an ancient list of cool stories kind of thrown together. But that's not so. Jesus is on a particular mission. He is a man on a mission to not only seek and save that which is lost, but also go about undoing and destroying these evil works of the devil. So we're going to be in two ancient towns in the story today, and I want you to kind of follow along with what we're looking at from Jesus's life and try to remember some of these details. The first story of where we're going to look at comes into the city of Nazareth. The second story that we're going to look at comes in the city of Capernaum, and we're going to walk through how Jesus navigates not only before he launches into his public ministry, he decides to go visit home and see whom he might rescue and save from his very own home, and also his very first foray into preaching into this synagogue, this place where the religious have gathered to hear the Bible taught and preached. And so let's look at our primary text we're going to be looking at today is Luke chapter number 4. And we're going to start in verse 14. We're not going to read all the verses, but we're going to overview some of the story that's going to happen. Before we go, maybe before we read this, maybe Old Line, you can give some insight to this. Have you ever went back to your hometown? Have you ever started off in a journey? Maybe you went off to college, or maybe you went off to go and, like myself, chase after a beautiful young lady on the other side of the country. Maybe you went off onto a time in the army, and then you came back home and things felt different. Give us a little look, maybe, Sam, about how Jesus is going to be thinking about this. Maybe you've experienced some of this, and maybe, listener, you've been on a journey and you came back home and things just felt different.
I do remember as a 19-year-old young man, I had just come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. And I went back to my original church where I was brought up. And I remember going back to visit the pastor there at the church. I remember as a kid, I was not really a believer. I was not a follower of Jesus at all. And I wanted to go back, and I was so excited to go back and tell the minister in this church that I'd come from that I had become a believer. And unfortunately, when I went and met with him, he seemed actually disappointed that I had had this experience of being born again. And it was saddening to my heart. And I think Jesus here, when he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth, is going to experience something similar to what I experienced as a 19-year-old young man.
Yeah, and Jesus teaches this idea, and I think all of us kind of get what he's talking about, where Jesus will stand and say, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin. He talks about no prophet is accepted in his own country. And it is difficult sometimes that if you've gone on a journey of learning and growing and you go back, and what do the people back home, your grandma maybe, or your neighbors back in the day, or your old high school buddies, what do they see? They see the same kid that was from back 20 years ago, not this new person that's grown, learned, and become wiser to the things of the world. So Jesus is on this very same journey. He grows up in this town, and now he comes back and he shows up into this place where they're gathering to hear the Bible taught. And what does Jesus do? Jesus opens up the Word of God and he reads from the book of Isaiah. Now, he goes to his own town. He's going into a place where they're having a religious gathering, almost like church today, and he opens the Bible. What's the significance of him going into this place, this synagogue? And then also, what's the significance of him reading from the book of Isaiah?
Well, look at verse 16 here in Luke chapter 4. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So this is nothing new. This hometown hero, if you will, this hometown kid,
I like that,
has made big. He's made it big, and he's come back to this little town, and I think there's an air of excitement because they've heard the reports of him going out, and now he's come home. Maybe they had a few signs. Maybe they had some welcome back, Jesus.
Maybe some meatloaf.
Perhaps.
Probably not meatloaf, but maybe his favorite meal.
Yeah. And so they're welcoming back. Things are starting out real good here. But this was his custom. See, the churches that we are in today, they were really birthed out of this synagogue system. What's different about the synagogues then versus the churches now is that it was customary for men to stand up and read the Word of God and expound upon it. That was a natural thing in church. It wasn't just one person, the ruler of the synagogue, who would stand up and proclaim the Word of God, but anybody who was a man, who was a member of that synagogue, had the right and responsibility to stand, read the Word of God, and then expound on it.
So this Jesus, on his mission, does this very thing. He comes into this place, he stands, he opens the Word of God, and he reads from Isaiah 61. Now, this is a very special chapter. Why is Jesus particularly reading this? Why didn't he open to Genesis? Why didn't he open to Exodus? Why didn't he open to Ezra? He opens to Isaiah. And why is that, old lion?
I'll tell you what. Isaiah, we've talked about it before. It's the Bible within the Bible.
Right.
So in these later chapters of Isaiah, they are really detailing out the ministry and the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ before it ever happened. And he just opens there to Isaiah chapter 61.
Now, this was not one of those times like we do where we say, let's just open to any part and just read, see if anything's good in there. Jesus had a particular mission. He was on point and he read from this passage on purpose. And I think we should read it. I think we should hear the words that Jesus read. So this is the book of Luke, chapter number 4, verse number 18. Here's what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse number 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then the Bible says, and he closed the book.
Yeah, or rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down.
Jesus is preaching this wonderful, beautiful, awesome message that if we heard it today, we might all shout amen. It's glorious. It's beautiful to preach deliverance to those that are in bonds.
Yeah, who doesn't want that?
To preach good news to those that are poor. Who doesn't want that? To preach sight to those that are blind. This is a wonderful message that Jesus is beginning to preach and read in this place. And then he says one last thing before he sits down. He hands the scroll over to the minister there. And then what does he say? This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What is Jesus getting at, old lion? What is he talking about here?
Well, I don't really think that the people that were gathered there understood the impact of that statement. I don't think they realized that this was the Son of God. This was the person whom the entire Bible that they honored and that they read every week in the synagogue, this was the person who had been promised by God from ages past. And here he was on the scene. He's ready to begin his mission to undo the works of the devil. He's ready to seek and to save that which was lost. And he says, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm here. The kingdom of God is here. It begins right now.
So what's the response of those that are there? Now, we have his high school friends. We have his old teachers. We have the bakery down the street from where he grew up. The baker, the candlestick maker. They're all right here from his hometown. So what's their response? How do they feel from what Jesus just stood up and read? Declared that he actually is the one that is prophesied about in the Old Testament to preach these things and to fulfill these things. What's their response?
Well, initially, they're kind of riding this wave of excitement about him coming back and this homecoming, this one who's done well for himself, and now he's coming back home. It says, all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming out of his mouth. However, there was an undercurrent here that's about to get exposed as we read on. Why don't you read the backside of verse 22 and 23 here?
So here's what happens. They say, wow, what gracious words have proceeded out of the mouth of this man, Jesus. But then they said, is this not Joseph's son? Which leads us to an additional passage that gives us some insight to this story. So what you need to know, if you don't know this, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are different perspectives of all the same story of this man, Jesus Christ. So if you find some detail in the book of Luke, you may find some additional detail in the book of Matthew, in the book of John, and also in the book of Mark. And in this particular story, we find some additional detail in the book of Mark, chapter number 6, which gives us some insight to how their response is. So when they say, is this not Joseph's son? What are they actually saying? Well, let's hear from Mark chapter 6.
What's really behind that statement? So let's read Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, which is really the same moment in time in more expanded words.
Yep, go ahead.
Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him.
So number one, here's a little side note, an academic tidbit here for you. This is the passage in scripture where people get the idea that Jesus was a carpenter. And so this idea, is this not Joseph's son, son of the carpenter? That's just a little note for you to understand that in Mark chapter 6 gives you some insight to this reputation that Jesus has even today. Number two, what's happening in this story? You may very well relate to this idea that the people in Jesus's past categorized him to how they thought about him, not to what he was about to declare. So they said, your reputation in our eyes is how we're going to depict and hold you to, instead of him declaring, I am the Lamb of God, which will take away the sins of the world. And you may have kind of experienced this before, where you go home and you're beholden to how they viewed you when you were 15, 16, and 17, as opposed to the things that you're working on or accomplishing now. Jesus is going through this very thing. And you know what's so great about Jesus? I want you to pay attention to this. The Bible teaches us further in Hebrews that Jesus is not a high priest that does not understand what you're going through. The Bible teaches us that he is touched in every point as you were, even down to the very idea of going home for a short season and feeling the weight of the reputation you had when you were younger. Jesus also felt this. So Jesus feels this. He sees that they're offended with what he's saying. How does Jesus respond?
This is a classic example of the clash of the spiritual with the natural. And so right. Jesus, his new ministry, he's representing the spiritual. He's coming and saying, hey, I'm bringing a spiritual kingdom right now. This natural world that we're all used to is coming to an end, and the spiritual kingdom that I represent, that I'm bringing, is going to last forever.
Right.
The natural man, the Bible says, does not grasp. He does not understand the things of the Spirit. This is just the reality. Talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But here Jesus is, he's bringing the spiritual reality. Their natural minds, even though on the surface they're like, oh, this is really nice, this is really great, in their heart of hearts, when the natural confronts the spiritual, their initial reaction of the flesh is to be offended right. at spiritual things. And this right. is exactly what happens. And so Jesus says, hey, you guys are going to tell me down the line, physician, heal yourself, which they did when he was on the cross. He
mocking said, him.
Yeah. If you're the savior of the world, come down from the cross and we'll worship you. When he was on the cross later. The problem with this spiritual message, we talked about it last week with Nicodemus, is this basic understanding that if you're going to be born again, if you're going to come in, enter in to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, there's a death that has to occur. And so they wanted all the benefits of this new spiritual kingdom, but they were offended at the idea that they had to undergo a death of their old self to get there. And that's the root of this offense, I believe.
So instead of these folks saying, wow, great message, thank you for sharing, they stand up and they grab Jesus. And the Bible says that they take him and they thrust him out of the city that he was in. They're filled with wrath. They lead him to a hill. And they want to cast Jesus off of a cliff. Yeah, that's their response.
So this homecoming party did not end well.
It was no homecoming dance at all. They want to kill Jesus for what he preached in the synagogue.
So this ended badly.
It ended very badly.
Interestingly, Jesus, after this offense takes place, after this shift in the atmosphere takes place, Jesus is telling in verse 26 and 27 about the mission is that God doesn't just want to save the Jews. He wants to save the whole world. So Jesus talks about Elijah the prophet being sent to a widow from the land of Sidon.
A Gentile widow.
And he talks about Naaman the Syrian, this enemy of the Israelites, who God healed through the prophet Elisha of leprosy. And he points out that none of the Israelites, even though there were many lepers in that time, none of them were healed at that time. And so these people get very upset because they're very proud of their Jewish heritage.
Sure.
They're very proud of their station as God's chosen people. And they don't recognize that the reason God chose them and gathered them as his people was because he wanted to bring light to the rest of the world through them.
That's so good. So if we're watching this story, we see Jesus about to be cast off a cliff for preaching that the good news needs to go out throughout the entire world. And if you're watching this, you might think, oh no, is this the end of Jesus? He's about to die. There's no way he can escape this. This is about to be the end. You might think this is the end, but he hits them with a to be continued. Because what happens is the man on a mission is not to be outdueled by these wrathful people that want to kill them. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 30 that he passed through the midst of them and then went on his way. As they were casting him off of a cliff, he dodged his way around all of these people to go on to his very next mission. Jesus was not to be stopped by the power of mortal men. He was a man on a mission. So Jesus escapes off of this cliff in the greatest cliffhanger in the entire first four chapters of this book. And what we find next is Jesus does not go and say, wow, I need to take a break from this. He says, I need to go back and start preaching again. And the very next day, the very next Sabbath day, Jesus is teaching again in another town called Capernaum.
This is the reason why you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you trust in God, you can walk through life with absolute confidence, just like Jesus did. There is a day when your life on this earth is going to end, whether by Jesus coming back and taking you and transforming you before you experience earthly death, or whether you are going to experience earthly death and be buried and to await his return. One of those two things is going to happen for you if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. But you need to be confident that your life is not going to end 1 second before he wants it to end. Jesus had this knowledge that I have a destiny. I'm going to fulfill my mission. I'm going to be crucified. He knew this from the beginning. He's not reacting in fear. He's not reacting being scared. He's just walking through, passing through the midst, knowing that his hour has not yet come.
Yeah, and what happens is, in the very next big series of stories in Jesus's life is going to be him recruiting his team to go on this mission with him. Before he does that, he kind of gains some strength by interacting with some of the forces of evil. And before he goes and meets who we're going to find out about next week, before he goes and meets this guy, Peter, he comes to this this little town of Capernaum. And here at Capernaum, he interacts with actually one of Satan's minions. He actually meets what the Bible calls an unclean spirit that comes to attack and confront Jesus as he's preaching truth. And isn't this always how it is? That when you stand up for something truthful and right, there will be an equal and opposite reaction to someone standing up for what is wrong. So as soon as Jesus overcomes this homecoming dance fiasco, he's almost cast off a cliff. He then goes into another town to preach. And in this synagogue, one of an unclean spirit, a devil, stands up. And what is Jesus' words to him, Capernaum? Sam, please find it in verse 35. Find out what Jesus says. When Jesus stands up the very next week to preach the gospel in this synagogue, what does Jesus say to this unclean spirit who's indwelling this man in the next synagogue?
Let's start in 34 and see what the unclean spirit stands up and says as Jesus is preaching.
Yes.
He says, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Verse 35, "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm." You know, it's funny. You wouldn't expect to find a demon in church. And yet,
at least it seems unlikely.
It seems unlikely, and yet I think many of us who have been in the faith have found that church is often a demon's favorite place to go and to try to
disrupt,
to go and try to stop the work of God,
right,
to go and try to deceive, to go and try to work lies and destroy the work of God. And so it's not surprising that a demon would show up in church. And we need to recognize that even today, in our churches, we need to recognize the propensity for unclean spirits to be there, sowing discord among the brethren, sowing gossip, sowing discouragement, sowing half-truths and lies among the people to try to prevent people from laying hold of their calling and their commission to serve the King of Kings.
So yeah, exactly. And Jesus is here in this very situation. He looks at this unclean spirit, and then the Bible says, with authority and power, he commands him. He says, "Hold your peace and come out of him." Period. That's all. He's not wrestling with this guy. He's not having a fireside chat. He says, "Be quiet and get out."
Right.
And then what happens? The unclean spirit directly obeys what Jesus has to say. And the people are shocked. They're astonished by what Jesus did. They're so shocked. They say, Jesus speaks with such authority. The Bible even goes so far as to say, is since he did this, the fame about who Jesus was went out to the entire town.
Here we keep talking about this man on a mission who came to seek and save that which was lost and to undo the works of the devil. This is a classic example of a work of Satan. His minions, these demons, had gone into all the earth and had been oppressing people, had been bringing anxiety, bringing depression, bringing all these things that people were dealing with. And so Jesus shows up on the scene. He says, "Guys, there's a new sheriff in town. I'm here. I have the authority. I have the power. Your time is up. Get out."
And I love this. And I think that you need to interact with the life of Christ. And the reason why we're even shouting this show out is because we want you to be introduced to who Jesus is. And we're not a show that's interested in necessary political commentating or what's going on in the sports world or what new fashion trends are happening. We're not that interested in what's trending on Twitter or what you might find on social media. Our job on this show, our responsibility, is to uncover the truth of Scripture and preach it boldly. And we'll hope that you'll continue with us on this journey of the man on a mission. And we hope that God blesses you in your walk today.
And we'll see you at church.